Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message, already in progress, by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Thank you. goodness and your mercy toward us. Let us stand all over this place. Thank you, choir. God, we thank you now for this preaching privilege. We pray, God, that you would speak a word into our hearts, oh God, that will remind us that you're God all by yourself and that beside you there is none other. We thank you and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Come on, how many folk are thankful for what happened at Calvary's cross? Wonderful rest. He'll give you sanctified rest. He'll give you glorious rest. God on today. Oh, it's all right to put those hands together. It's okay. I promise you. After all that you've been through, you got a right to give God some praise. The mere fact that you survived the pandemic is enough reason. Amen. There ought not be anybody on your pew that can contain your praise. There ought not be anybody sitting near you that can look at you wrong and cause you to not want to give God praise. He's been that good. He's been that kind. Come on. Give him praise. That's why we're here. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. After all that I've been through, I still got a right. I still have a reason. I still have a responsibility to give him praise. Give him praise. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Oh, bless him. Bless him. Bless him. See, you don't know like I know. And I don't know like you know what the Lord has done. Come on. Woo. Woo. Thank God for release. Some of us have been waiting a whole year just to get back in the church and say, Lord, I thank you. Hallelujah. Today, because you care for me, thank you, Jesus, in such a special way. That's why I praise you, I lift you up, Lord. I magnify your name. That is why my heart. That is why my heart. That is why my heart.
My heart is filled with praise.
Amen. Put those hands together. For those of you who are at home, God bless you. I know some of you could not be here, but let me tell you, there's something about being close to the fire. And so I want to challenge you again. Amen. We appreciate the fact that you're watching us by way of Facebook Live. But if you can, get back in the place. Oh, I wish you could see the bright, smiling faces of the men and women of God, the boys and girls, amen, who just happen to be in the service. One more time. Y'all need to get here. Amen. God bless you. Amen. In the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 8, Nehemiah chapter 8, and we want to read into your hearing this morning verses 9 through 12. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 12. If you will, those of you who can, please stand at this time as we shall read the word of God. Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 9 through 12. And Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink, and to send portions, and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. God bless you. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O God, my strength, and my Redeemer. I want to talk for just a few moments this morning from this subject, the perfect model for worship. The perfect model for worship. Thank you, ushers. Amen. During the pandemic and even before the pandemic, I took it upon myself to read a bunch of books on how the church ought to be modeled, how we ought to model our worship in this new age, in this new millennium, in this new time that we're living in. I mean, all of the paradigms have shifted. For church, I'm talking about. Amen, amen. Churches all across this nation, both large and small, are experiencing a downturn. And it should come no surprise to those of us who read the Bible and study the Word. The Bible says that in the last days, there would be a great falling away. Amen. And statisticians have been predicting for some time that in America, what has already happened in Europe would soon happen here. And that is that people find time to do everything but go to church. And we're seeing it every day. Amen. And then the pandemic comes and causes us to empty out these buildings. And many people, amen, some who are even watching me right now, God bless you. I'm not fussing. I'm just telling you what it is. Many have gotten comfortable, amen, because for a long time while we were on Facebook and Zoom, amen, I've heard folk tell me, Pastor, that was some message. I really enjoyed it, amen. I enjoyed it over my eggs and bacon and toast, amen. I was eating a beautiful, wonderful breakfast and listening to you preach at the same time. I've even had some say they didn't get that far. They didn't even quite get out the bed, but thank God they had their phone. They were in their night clothes, amen, but watching the service online. And so many have gotten comfortable with that. But I've come by to challenge us today, amen, that it's time to come back. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves, amen. The Bible says that the people of God ought to come and fellowship one with another and come together to worship God. That's why we're here. So I took it upon myself. I've taken it because I've been searching, and a lot of pastors have been scratching their heads trying to figure out what's going on and what can we do to make things better. Amen. There's not a church in Leesville that doesn't look quite like this. Amen. But thanks be to God, He's still on the throne. Thanks be to God, He's still worthy of our praise. He's still worthy. Come on, where are the folk who know He's still worthy to be worshipped? Somebody said, if I have to worship Him by myself. And then I want to thank Deacon Phillips this morning as he came in my office, he and the other deacons, to pray with their pastor. Deacon Phillips said, thank God for the Word. He said, that Word that says where two or three are gathered in His name, He will be in the midst. Come on, how many of you feel His presence here this morning? I read the Purpose-Driven Church book, When God Builds a Church, a book called Simple Church, a book called Comeback Churches, a book called Effective Evangelistic Churches, a book called Five-Star Churches. And in the book Five-Star Churches, the writer tells us that we need to model our churches after casinos. And the writer tells us that we need to, amen, look at what they're doing to make folk feel welcome at the casino and do some of that here. Amen. I read a book called Breakout Churches, a book called Planning Growing Churches, a book called Total Church Life, just to name a few. There are all kind of books out there that, amen, are taking it upon themselves to tell us how we ought to model church in order to grow the church in this current environment. However, my brothers and sisters, I think I found the best model for worship in this new millennium right here in the book of Nehemiah. You Bible readers know that the children of Israel have been held captive in Babylon for many years, and now they're getting ready to return, and many of them have returned to their homeland. Nehemiah and crew, they finished the walls of the city in chapter 6, and in chapter 7, They began some reforms in the city to begin rebuilding the people of God. And the last thing that they did was to take up a $5 million offering for worship at the temple. And so the obvious thing to do after, amen, lifting that kind of offering, the last thing that you ought to do, the obvious thing that you ought to do after lifting that kind of offering is have a worship service. And that is what they did. And since so much detail is given about it, I think it's appropriate to consider it as a model for our worship. These Levites explained the word and literally made it make sense to the people. Y'all, there is power in the spoken word. There's value in reading the word and hearing the word. And let me pause here right here and just say how happy I am to see my childhood friend come in. Lolette, God bless you. Amen. So happy to see you. Amen. And so there's power in the word. There's power. Come on, somebody right there, that's a good cue. If you are a reader of the word, if you're a student of the word, right there is a good place for you to say, amen. There's power in the word. There's value in reading the word. There's value in hearing the word. But the primary purpose of God for giving us the word is to communicate his thoughts to us. Did y'all know God wants to tell you something? Did you know, my brothers and sisters, that you're not here, amen, just out of coincidence, that you're not here just out of happenstance, but you're here because God wants to tell you something. And so we ought to thank God for the word. That's why preaching is crucial to a worship service. And not only preaching, because there are all kinds of preaching. There are different kinds and variations on preaching, but biblical preaching. How many of you can testify? That's what I need. I need biblical preaching. Amen. Thank God for your degrees, and thank God for Aristotelian logic and syllogistic reasoning and all of that. But I come because I need a word from God. And it is my job to give you the word of God. Amen. I need not come up with a clever way to disguise it. I don't have to, amen, come up with a clever method to try to trick you into hearing what thus saith the Lord. I really, amen, you know, folk got on Noah. You hear folks say, he preached that sermon before, and he preached that sermon before, and I've heard that one before. But did y'all know that Noah preached the same sermon for 120 years? The same one, amen. It's going to rain, it's going to rain, it's going to rain. And some folks still didn't hear what he had to say. I did say Noah, didn't I? Amen, amen, amen. So all we've got to do is proclaim the word, explain the word, expound on the word, exposit the truth of the word, amen. All I got to do is do that to the best of my abilities. We must become connoisseurs of the word. Don't always look for preaching that deals with relevant topics. You know, some folk, that's all they want to hear is what's in the news. They want to hear it in the sermon. Amen. Don't look for preaching that is loud or quiet or long or short, happy or sad. Don't look for preaching that holds your attention or is entertaining. Look and listen for preaching that takes a text of scripture and explains it, then applies it to life. Opinions, thoughts, funny stories, cliches, popular topics don't change lives. Nor are we called to preach that kind of stuff. We are called to be biblical waiters delivering, watch this, not cooking, but delivering the word of God to his people. Simply trying not to mess it up. Lord, help me. That's my prayer every Sunday when I get up here. Lord, just help me to not mess it up. Amen. Amen. The word of God to his people, don't mess it up. Poor preaching does about as much damage as good preaching. Although God can still accomplish his ends through his word, there's power in the word. Now, here are my 2 points, and I'm done. Amen. As it relates to a model for worship that we can glean from what happens here in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8. Amen. The first thing we see in verse 9 is that there is an expression of brokenness. Because the Bible says, the text says, that the people of God started weeping. They started crying. They started mourning. Amen. The initial reaction during the worship was bowing down. But as they heard the word of God read in their ears, they started crying. Can I tell you why they started crying? Can I tell you why they started weeping? Amen. And let me just say that there ought to be a healthy dose of weeping in our churches today. They were weeping because as the priest read the word of God, they realized how far they were from living it. As the priest read the word of God, they realized how low down and wretched they really were. And I just believe that too many of us come into the house of God thinking we're all that and a bag of chips, acting like we don't ever mess up, acting like we never do bad deeds, acting like we never have bad thoughts. But I come by, and one of the things I thank God for in my growth as a pastor is that I have come to the realization that no matter where you sit in this room, you can sit high, you can sit higher, you can sit low, but we all got sin issues. We all got some stuff in our lives that when we read the word of God, we ought to be mourning. We ought to be, come on, don't act like you got it all together. Don't act like you always dot every I and cross every T. Sometimes we excuse ourselves by looking at other folk. We excuse ourselves by pointing fingers of condemnation at other folk, forgetting all the while that there's some fingers pointing back at us. And somebody said you can fool some of the folk some of the time, but you can't fool all of the folk all of the time. And I just need three or four folk beside myself who can say like Paul, I'm the worst of sinners. I need just two or three folk who will testify like Paul, amen, that you don't have it all together, that you've got some issues, that you've got some mess ups in your life. And when you hear the word of God, there ought to be a healthy dose of indignation in your heart and in your spirit, that when you think about how holy he is and how low down you are, you ought to cry sometimes. I said all of that. And that's my first point, is that if you're going to have true worship, the first thing you got to have is an expression of brokenness. The folk that don't ever rejoice don't ever come, amen, close to their own brokenness. I don't mind being transparent to tell you that I'm broken in a lot of ways. Amen. God bless you, Sister Landra. I know you're looking at me saying, don't he look good in that suit? Oh, my. Don't he look, amen, all of that. But I got to tell you, amen, I've got some issues. I've got some hang-ups. But thank God when I read the word, amen, it reminds me of how broken I am. And it makes me fall flat down on my face before God and say, God, I'm a wretch undone. God, I messed up. God, I'm sorry. Am I by myself? God, my thoughts weren't right. God, the things I did weren't right. God, I've messed up. Am I by myself in here? God is looking for some truth seekers, some folk who will testify that you look real cute, but you got some hang-ups. You look real good and you smell good, but everything ain't A100 in your life. We need brokenness. We need an expression of brokenness. That's the first thing, because you can't get to the second thing until you deal with the first thing. The second thing is that not only do you need an expression of brokenness,